The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
Kerr's Hire, Cat Attack Podcast, hitting you harder than Fonzie used to hit the jukebox in that little... It was called Bunnies. What was the diner called?
Al's Diner.
Al's Diner, that's right. Al had an extraordinarily large schnozzer.
You're a bit of a music aficionado. I like you. Weezer.
I don't know about it. Yeah, I've got two Weezer CDs.
So their song Buddy Holly was filmed on the set of Al's Diner. And Al, the actual actor. Yeah, he actually makes an appearance in the video clip.
Does he?
Yeah. Right. And they make it out to be an episode of Happy Days, and they intersperse Fonz and Joni,
who's no longer with us. Yeah, and Potsy. It was one of the great shows.
Ralph Malph.
Yeah, Ralph Malph. You know, Richie was always just straight.
Charchi.
Yeah, Charchi was, was he?
Scott Baio.
Yeah, he was.
He went on to do Diagnosis Murder, which you get a mention.
He did, yes.
Dick Van Dyke.
That's where the umpire comes in, sort of Diagnosis Murder style, and says, look, give it to me. I can't work out who's done it.
I knew we'd bring it back to football
somehow we did, Kingy. We bring it back to footy last week. Geez, the Cats were, that was one of the better games. Cats played one of the better games this year. It was free-flowing.
Probably the
goals galore. Mm. I reckon, was it 17 goals to 13 or 14? So it was about 31 goals kicked, I think.
Yeah, it was 17-14, I think. Yeah, 22 points was the margin.
Yeah, 111 to 90. I reckon 75% of those goals were probably kicked within about 40 minutes.
A lot of them came 15 minutes on in most of the quarters, but you had that rush from Port Adelaide
and then a rush from the Cats. Yeah. And Geelong started with a rush.
Yep.
Port Adelaide had a rush in the second quarter.
Yep.
But there were sort of periods where I would say nothing happened, but the goals came in flurries. It was a good effort from the Cats. They were. Geez, they look pretty good. I have to say that Jeremy Cameron, I know he individually has certainly set the world alight. He's kicked 23-7, I think. Mm. He doesn't miss. He's unbelievable on the set shot. He's on the snap. But he's also very, very competent from the set shot as well. But what he's done is his inclusion has dropped Gary Rowan down a rung, and he seems to be thriving on that. He's a difficult matchup, Rowan, when he's... I just hope Gary Rowan stays fit. He's one of those players, you know, just hope he can stay fit and hold his form, because he, with that third sort of defender, he's a difficult matchup, and he seems to be relishing that. And he's also, we called for it, you know, probably since his days in Sydney, came to the Cats. One of the problems with him was that when he was poor, he'd have touched the ball three times. He's actually getting involved a little bit more in general play as well as hitting the scoreboard. So if he can get sort of 10 to 15 possessions a game, that's absolute gold, and that's what he's been able to do.
Yeah, so look, previous years, so these first 2 years in Geelong, he averaged 9 and 9 in terms of disposals a game. He averaged, pardon me, just on three marks, whereas this year he's averaging 4.5 marks, he's averaging nearly 12 disposals, and he's averaging 2 goals a game. So he kicked 25 from 19 in 2019, 22 from 19 last year, and he's already got 20 from 10 this year. So right now he's on track for a 40-goal season. If your third forward is kicking you 40 goals...
You're going pretty well.
Yeah.
And you've got your other two forwards kicking you, you know, 45, 50 plus. Well, yeah. He probably not. I don't know if they'll get to that sort of.
Well,
Cameron missed some games, so he. But yeah, he's look. It's just been and Cameron's come in, you know, seamlessly. And to hear after we had him on K-Rock after last week's game, and basically said that he hasn't trained at all until last week. Mm. It was the first week he's been able to train.
Why bother training?
So he's obviously. We asked him whether he was going down the Gary Ablett Senior sort of channel in terms of just not training and then destroying the opposition on the weekend. So, look, it's and the defence has been good. You know, they're really, I mean, it was good to see. I mean, Dangerfield got back in. He had a quiet game by his standards.
Still, he had 7 score involvements, I believe.
Yeah, and I think he led the team in clearances. Mm. He didn't have a huge impact there. You weren't noticing him, but he got through the game. First game back, that was good. I noticed this week, Kingy, so Grime Myers is not going to be playing this week.
I wouldn't have thought. If he is playing anywhere, it'll probably be in the 4-10 game.
Yes, the old Ford, that's the traditional time for the Scooby-Doos.
Curtain raiser.
Yeah.
So they're playing before the... We'll actually see a bit of that and be able to give you a bit of
a bit of feedback.
Simon Lloyd's going to join us pre-game. I suspect he'll watch a bit of that Twos game a bit more probably intently than we will, because we won't get there. You know, I might be there early enough. You definitely won't be. we'll get Lloydie to...
No, I could be, King.
Could you? Could will be, you get yeah. down a bit earlier?
I might just do some live eye sort of action.
Yeah.
What do you think?
We could do that.
Reporting for K-Rock. I might be able to drop a few of those and then just pop the invoice in the mail.
So Dangerfield, yeah, will be better for the run.
Guthrie in this week.
Guthrie will play.
Who's out?
Gee, somebody's going to be stiff. Very hard to remove somebody out of that lineup last week.
It's hard to remove someone who's stiff too, isn't it?
It is. oh, you're an idiot. Who comes out? Oh, geez. Sean Higgins in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, he hasn't been great. I don't think they'd drop him, but he wouldn't want to continue to play like that.
You're not dropping Atkins.
No, well, he plays a different role. Buse. So you're getting it. You bring.
I'm just going through the lineup here.
You're losing it. Guthrie basically now plays as a pure midfielder. So, that's his job. So you got to really find somebody out of the midfield. Like, you're not going to take a I wouldn't have thought you'd take a defender.
So here's your midfielders.
Blitzer. Zach Tui. Could he come out? I know he doesn't play in the midfield, but.
Yeah. He had 14 last week, and about half a dozen of those were kick ins.
Yeah, so he didn't touch the ball much.
No. Is he the one? Maybe. Jeez.
Who else?
It's not Stewart. It's not Smith. It's not Selwood. It's not Rowan. It's not Radigalia. It's not Parfitt. It's not O'Connor. It's not Nark. Well, Nark was 23rd.
He'll come out.
Won't be Menegola.
No. Well, Narkel probably comes out and Tui comes in. Oh, no, Tui. Well, Guthrie comes in and then somebody becomes the old medical sub.
Yeah, but geez.
Do you reckon they had a medical sub in MASH? Old Hawkeye and Klinger. It's a good problem to have for the Cats.
Chris Scott said that after the game last week when we decided to gate crash the Zoom.
You decided to gate crash it.
You had no issue with it.
It was getting late.
It was getting
Although we did get some feedback on the Twitter. A couple of punters were happy that we were still on it. Sort of, and we just crossed over and into heart balm. We weren't far off. People were ringing up and saying, look, I've got a few problems. Can you help me?
So the Cats are going to, that maybe saves a couple of blokes at the medical sub. But, gee, Quinton Narkle's stiff to be running around. It's not even in the...
Well, and somebody out of that team is going to be stiff for Guthrie to come back in. So, look, it is a great problem to have. And
have Geelong ever been at this stage of the season and had so few injury issues as what they have right now? So on the weekend, outside of, I think, so say Myers plays in the reserves or in the VFL, Stevens, Simpson, Tahini, and they'll have Sapatolas playing at the NAB League. So if they're 45 or 46 listed, they'll have 40-odd to pick from. And they'll all be playing because a lot of those blokes haven't played a game of footy for a month because of the VFL being shut down.
Yeah.
You know, there'll be... If you get there early enough and you're one of the lucky 7,000, you'll actually get to see the majority of Geelong's list running around.
Yeah, well, it's a good position to be in. Let's hope it's the same in sort of, 3 months' time? 10 or 11 weeks' time?
Some GFL clubs rubbing their hands together, Benny.
Getting some players.
Plays back.
Yeah. Well, what's going on this week? Are they playing?
Yes.
They are.
We've got local footy.
Who do Joey's play?
St. Joseph's play Leopold.
Where at?
Drew.
Oh, good.
I know where you are on Saturday afternoon.
I don't think I've got... Yeah, I might be up there too, just refreshing. Remaining hydrated.
Not on ballers.
What else we got, Kingy? The Cats are... I'm a bit excited about the Cats. I'll tell you, I've gone from...
It's a big... Well, Friday night...
So I'll tell you the one bloke I am worried about this week. His initials are A-N.
Aaron Norton.
I don't think I've seen a bloke fly as physical in the air as Aaron Norton. He just flies with no fear or favour. I know other players have done that, in a different sort of way. Though he, you know, when we talk about splitting packs, he's legitimately. There's four blokes going. He comes through, and there's three blokes all going in different directions. He is the real deal. His kicking is a bit of a concern. He can have off nights and be really off target. But so you'd have to think then, well, Lockie Henderson goes to him. I'd just be really interested to see how that matchup goes. That's a really big night for Lockie Henderson because Norton's the sort of bloke that can absolutely get hold of a game.
Who goes to Bruce?
Well, I'd send Collar Jasny to him. I think he's won College Asney. He'd be giving away a few centimetres.
Giving around 197, Bruce.
193. So yeah, four centimetres. And I don't think he'd be giving away a lot of weight. He's a pretty big boy, College Asney. Yeah. I'd be happy to send that match up. And I've always maintained that College Asney can play that role as your second defender.
Yep.
You're like Dylan Grimes type for Richmond. That's his role. I'd love to see him go to Bruce. Henderson, well, they're not going to put Blitzovs there, so Henderson will go to Norton.
Who goes to English?
Well, he plays in the ruck, doesn't he?
No, he's been playing forward more than Martin's been.
Well, if he goes forward, then you probably have to mix things around a little bit.
Henry?
Well, Henry or College Asney, they'd have to mix it up. But I'd like to see College Asney's the matchup for Bruce the whole night, and then if English goes forward, you've got to put Henry
there.
Don't
be surprised if Blitzovs plays back tomorrow night.
Why?
No, I wouldn't be surprised.
No, they're not going to do that.
Don't you think?
No. Well, they've been winning without
doing it. This is a different forward combination that they're looking at.
Is Martin in?
Yeah.
Well yeah, I don't. They're not going to do that, though, I don't think. They're not going to. Well, I'd be staggered if they did.
If they don't change their lineup from round 12 too much, you've got both Martin and English in that side. Martin did come off.
I don't think English is not really a traditional forward.
No, but he has kicked goals this year.
He has. I mean, it's not that you wouldn't worry about him, but I suppose he's 200 and something. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what they do, but I just certainly don't think they're going to start rearranging Blitzovs, having played basically all year with him up the ground. I don't think they're suddenly going to put him into defence.
Put it this way.
Unless they're in trouble.
Put it this way. In his 47 games before this year, English, he'd only kicked 17 goals. In 8 games this year, he's kicked 12.
Yeah, but he... I don't think he's the sort of bloke that's going to tear the game apart. He might go down and pluck a mark and kick a goal, but I don't think he's going to...
He's 205.
He's not going to be your sort of Marianne Van Dorsler. You remember Marianne?
She was on... She did the lotto numbers.
These numbers aren't... Yeah, remember she used to come on old Marianne with Gavin Wood?
Yes.
Yeah. And they used to just produce a little bit of...
Gavin Wood being the former voice of Countdown.
Yeah, and the...
Then Marianne Van Dorsler, her brother... was Andy Van, the DJ, who was one half of Madison, was it Madison County? Was that the name of the band? Don't Call Me Baby. That would be your sort of music, Ben.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Is that what it's called? Madison
County?
More Madison
sort of
Bridges?
Peanuts on the floor.
I don't
type
know.
Stuff.
Peanuts on. The way you've come dressed to the last couple of. Up. Today you're okay, but the way you've come dressed up like you're going to a hoedown.
Yeah.
The last couple of times.
Love a hoedown.
I can see you boot scooting.
So anyway, have we got any questions? We're excited about the pussies.
Oh, you would like some questions, would you, Benny?
Yeah.
To answer. Here we go. Foxdog50, look after this question. You may not like me, he says. I know you boys have got on well with Sean Higgins, as he always has welcomed to come onto K-Rock over the years. But since he's come to Geelong, his form has been below his standard. Yes, he's had an injury setback, but his current form, I really don't think he's in our best 22. Where a player like Narkle, who was unlucky to be dropped, can play that role, what Higgins could play on the flank, on the wing, with playing as an inside or outside role. I'm sorry, but if a player isn't performing above what they should, we need to reward the players like Narkle. Then we also have guys like Simpson, Myers also, who will be knocking down the door.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And you know who'd be more aware of that of anyone?
Sean Higgins.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if he plays well against his former team on Friday night, but I 100% agree. He wouldn't want to have another week or two like he did against Port. The thing I've noticed about him this year is his disposal's been a bit off.
And that was pointed out, I believe, in one of the media outlets during the week, one of the papers.
Yeah, he's kicking, and he's a lovely kick, but his kicking has been, his disposal has been off. So, look, is that Fox Dog? Yes. Yeah, 103%, if that's a percentage that you can have, that's how much I agree with that. A
couple of times last week, too, when he found himself beaten for the ball, he was out of the contest, if you understand what I mean, it was one effort and he was gone, it was done.
The
ability to...
He's an outside sort of player, he's never going to be that physical inside sort of player, so... and someone who's doing that really well is Isaac Smith.
Mm.
Sean at the moment isn't. And he'd be well aware of that. He'd be under a bit of pressure this Friday night to play well, and he would be aware of that. It'd be really interesting to see how he responds because he's been a very good player, and now he's playing in a very good team, and his form isn't great. And he's a little sort of side story on Friday night that I reckon would be really interesting.
Cat to the future. Hi, guys. Good win Thursday. Was lucky enough to go to this one with a wife who's a mad Port fan and didn't end up divorced afterwards. Great success.
Is there
success.
Anything other than mad Port fans?
Question. A bit being said in the media about us having different gear for top eight sides and just doing the minimum against lesser sides. To what extent is this driven by opposition who don't expect to win parking numbers back to clog us up? The numbers being starkest for Cameron, simply he just isn't getting the space. Is this something other better sides could take something from in regards to holding a lead? Does this mean we need fast starts in finals? Geez, a lot to cover off there. The games at Geelong have looked second rate in, but still one of the ones where they have been. North Melbourne, St Kilda. Oh, St Kilda should have shot themselves in the foot.
Well, that was Marvel, Gold Coast.
Yeah. They just went. Yeah.
But you're just going to go, I've said this a thousand times, you're just going to go over a 22-week season. The better teams can just go and win. The poorer teams like St Kilda just go and get beaten after they leave by six goals. Mm. So that's the difference. And the fact Geelong were able to win those games, yeah, it wasn't great, but they're the wins you bank. And you know, they had a howler against Adelaide in the first round,
yep.
Got beaten. You know, you could argue they weren't great. Well, they weren't great against North. They weren't great against Collingwood. They weren't great against Gold Coast. They won all those games.
But, gee, how good were they against Richmond? But
then they played
West
well.
Coast.
Yeah, so the fact that they can do that, you're not going to be able to do that every week. No side can sustain. And I only think back of Richmond in 2019. They were 7-6. Mm. I think they were about seventh on the ladder, somewhere around there. They were, you know, if you're in a Richmond sport, you think, oh, geez, I don't know about, you know, we're going okay, but 1 week we're up, 1 week we're down. They hit form at the right time and didn't lose another game.
Yep.
So it's about finding the – you don't want to be playing your best footy in June. You've just got to find a way to get – have an injury-free list. That's one – that's a key.
And that's where Geelong's doing well at the moment.
And put yourself in a position to launch late in the year, which is what Geelong are doing at the moment. So if you're playing your best footy in June, or even if you did a little survey, and there'd be years you'd be able to – you know, you'd be able to find examples
outliers.
That, yeah. But the team that's absolutely in red hot form in June doesn't win the premiership. I mean, Geelong, when they were thrashing sides 10 years ago, yeah, you could say that. And there'd be other, but there'd be a lot of sides you could find that are up and about,
yep,
in the middle of June or have had a great start to the year.
Or Port Adelaide with the Masters.
They've done it before. Yep. It'd be interesting how Melbourne go.
Yep.
So June ain't the time to be playing your best footy. It's a time to be winning games of footy. And when you challenge, rise to the challenge. Geelong have been really good at that this year. So they want to be finding their straps round 18, 19, 20. But they've got to be in a position. This week's a big game.
Do you know what the scary thing is, Benny? We're at round 14. We're not that far away from
round 18. Yeah, I know. Well, and last week was... And they're hitting that block. This block's crucial. And Friday night's a big test. At home is certainly a big advantage.
That was the big thing about last week, was that we talked about this block of games. So we start with Port last week, the Dogs, Brisbane at the Gabba next Thursday, and then a very much improved Essendon the following week. It was a win wasn't the crucial thing last week. It was the effort and the performance to lay the foundation to build off. Now, if they had a loss last week off that effort, you'd go, well, they're still going okay.
Yeah.
It's even better, though, that they've won it. The confidence, you know, then to beat the Bulldogs. If you can go in, roll the Dogs tomorrow night and go to Brisbane with that, that's fantastic.
Well, particularly as there was two occasions against Port where they looked gone's not the right word. Well, they were in the gap.
Got out to 21 points, 22
in
points.
In the second quarter.
Mm.
And then when Port kicked the flurry of goals early to start the last thing, well, away from home.
That became 9 points very quickly.
It went from nine to 10 points up to 9 points down, yep, like that. And you think, yeah, away from home, it's going to be tough to come back. And they did. So, yeah, a huge, huge win for the confidence of the group. Because when you're playing the good teams, there are going to be periods when you're not on top. You're not going to just dominate the game from start to finish. And they were able to overcome those little mental obstacles away from home, which was good.
Turkey Tom, does Jeremy Cameron do any work in the gym?
No, he's wiry strong, I think.
Mm, yep.
He's sort of like Matty Scarlett, wasn't a big boy either, but he had that sort of wiry strength. And James Hurd's probably another one.
Michael Tuck had that wiry strength.
Yeah, and Jeremy Cameron, I reckon you probably find can heave a bit of steel up there. He knows what he needs to do. I've said this 100 times. I like the fact he's a very different forward to Hawkins. He's very dangerous at ground level, Cameron. Not going to mark the ball too often in a pack situation, but he can kick goals in a variety of ways at ground level, and he becomes a really big matchup because if you do put somebody who's shorter on him, he will be able to outmark them in a one-on-one. But he's not a Aaron Norton split the pack style, but yeah, Hawkins does that. So it's a great mix at the minute.
And Rowan splits packs too.
Yeah, he does. And you're throwing Dangerfield in down there as well. It'll be interesting to see where he plays this weekend, whether he spends more time forward. So at the moment, it's all working well for the Cats. But, you know, it's a long way to go. In terms of harness racing,
yep,
It's Lombo Pocket Watch. You know, Lombo Pocket Watch in 2006 was four back the fence, right,
yep,
at even money. And the great Lombo Pocket Watch, there's some great names in harness racing. Smoking Up is one of them.
Did he find the Kodak sprint lane?
No, he didn't get the sprint lane. There was no sprint lane back in 2006. He was four back the pegs, as they call it, the marker poles. And he was under the urgings of Fitzpatrick. Mm-hmm. He won. He got off. If you ever see the replay, just Google YouTube 2006 Lombo Pocket Watch. It was one of the great drives in harness racing.
On a serious note, as you guys watch a hell of a lot more football than me, did Cameron roam all over the ground at GWS like he has for us? Seems like over the past couple of weeks, both he and Hawkins have had the license to go deep into our back line. Yeah, Cameron roamed for GWS.
Yeah, he's got a big tank.
Yep.
He's a very good runner. Mm-hmm. And that's probably, for the last question there, he doesn't carry a huge amount of weight, mm-hmm, which allows him to be a good runner. You know, I nearly fell off my stool, and there's been a little bit of that going on at the minute, but during the game on Port Adelaide, Port Adelaide.
I don't know where you're going.
And Geelong, they flashed up the people who'd run the most,
yeah,
at the top five. You know, I forget what stage of it. It must have been pretty late, the game, because they'd run a few Ks. Guess who was second?
From Geelong?
Yes.
Defender?
No.
No.
I forget who was first, but just
Gary Rowan?
No.
No.
Second in the distance, that total distance players had run, the top five.
Luke Dalhouse?
No.
Ford?
No. Yep.
Brad Close?
No.
Hawkins?
Yes. At 4,000 kilos and 908 centimetres. And he'd run. Remember we kicked that goal, they're running back? He had it on the – he tapped it in the wing, ran forward.
Yep.
He's a marvel, that bloke. He's getting better with the absolute age. And, yeah, he'd run 11.7K, which was second to
– But he was a good athlete. He was a good very good high jump.
He's sort of fined down over the last.
But he was
a
high jump. He was a very good high jumper at high school.
He's got a bit of a big fella.
But you could, yeah. I think of Javier Sotomayor and guys like that.
Who?
He was a gun high jumper.
Was he? Was it like Tatiana Gregorieva? Was that her name?
She was a pole vaulter. Oh. Right, Des Broncos.
She used to wear those extraordinary sort of arrangements, didn't she?
I have no idea.
It was hard to look, watch, really.
Okay. So after 16 years without missing a game, Daz Broncos, I had the general soreness last week and missed the first live game since 06. I've let the team down, but I'll be back. Oh, great game and a massive outcome.
Please explain for Daz.
I commented last week about Tommy Stewart about being a seamless Boris replacement, and the Port game exemplified that. Do you think Stewie and Jack Hendry can gain All-Australian selection for centre-half back in 2021? They won't be centre-half back. Stewie will be either in a back pocket or on a half-back flank. Jack Hendry, he's got some claims.
I think he'll be in the discussion, but I don't think he'll get there.
He might be in the 40.
I think Stewart is certainly will be in there.
He'll be wearing a blazer.
Yeah. I don't think... And I think the thing about that is, too, that it needs to be a bit of a body of work. Players like Hendry, who... I know Geelong fans follow it closely, so we tend to know a bit more about him than other fans, but he's jumped up this year a little bit.
Yep.
He's been progressing in the right direction each of the last 3 or 4 years, but this year he's certainly jumped up, but he's only done it for 1 year. Once he's done it for 2 years, yep, you're probably then saying, yeah, he's in the mix. But I reckon they'll say, yeah, Jack Hendry, and he'll get mentioned, but I'd be surprised if he gets in there. There's a lot of good defenders in the competition.
Who do you think has more chance of becoming the next CEO after Cookie, Stuart Fox, Stephen Hocking, or another? Definitely won't be Stuart Fox. He's not leaving one of the great gigs in world sport, being the CEO / GM of the Melbourne Cricket Club. So why would you leave that? Steve Hocking, I think, is pretty happy being 2IC at the AFL.
Yep.
The name that has been starting
to do
some rounds.
Do rounds, yeah.
Is David Matthews.
Oh, right.
I believe he's been sounded out.
Well, that would be good for K-Rock. He's a great friend of K-Rock.
It would be great for us, and it would be great to have a Geelong person back running the Cats, but has he got greater aspirations beyond being a club CEO and being in basically what is an AFL-run club at GWS? Does that open the door for him to go higher in the game?
Yeah, with all these sort of caps on things... Now is probably not the time, but he may see it as another step, as Brian Cook did leaving West Coast.
Potentially.
And he probably thinks he maybe has done enough at GWS in terms of where do I go.
Yep.
Different challenge at Geelong. It's going to be big list changes at Geelong over the next, you know, 4 or 5 years, potentially a coach change.
Like the challenge?
Maybe he thinks, well, I can't get to where I want to get to immediately. Hmm. Let's try another challenge. Is everything. I mean, and GWS, sometimes you just reach a point where you think, well, I've done everything I can here. I don't mind the place,
but
what's the next step? And maybe coming back to, I reckon he'd be a great one for the Cats King. He'd be a great one for The Rock. Anyway, we'd be able to get him on pretty regularly.
Yep. And Gale the Snail, I remember going back a few years, Geelong played Cam Guthrie deep forward looking to get him one out. Didn't work at the time, but given how much he's improved the last couple of years, do you reckon that's something they could have another look at?
No, I don't think. They've got too many forwards. Yep. And with Cameron in, Hawkins, Rowan, then you've got your small forwards close, you know, Dalhouse and Dangerfield down there. And Cam Guthrie now, his running ability and his ball-winning ability is absolutely best utilised as a permanent on-baller. And that allows people like Dangerfield to maybe spend a little bit more time out of the midfield.
Once both Dangerfield and Cameron are retired, who do you think we will look back on as the bigger recruit?
Yeah, we had this question a couple of weeks ago. If Geelong win a premiership and Jeremy Cameron kicks 6 goals in the grand final,
bang,
we'll be saying Jeremy Cameron.
Yep.
Because let's be honest, I mean, Patrick Dangerfield was pretty poor in last year's grand final.
He was injured.
He didn't play well. He had 12 effective disposals for the whole game.
He had a groin issue, I believe.
So I think it will come down to whether the Cats can win a flag and the ability of those blokes to impact winning a flag.
Yep.
Because it's, I mean, let's be honest, that's why the Cats got these players. They didn't get them to finish 8th.
No.
They got them to win a flag. And at the moment, Cameron seems to have, and whether it's not, it's just him, or whether or not things have just clicked, he seems to be a player that has not only made the team, he's got some brilliance, but he's made others around him better. And he's got a great ability to, and what I love, he's got a great ability to influence the game without getting the ball a whole lot.
Yep.
He doesn't get more than, he had about 19 possessions, I think, against Port, which I'd hazard a guess is clearly a season high for him.
Mm.
He's usually maybe touching the ball 10, 12, 13 times, but he's when he gets it, there's something generally happens, and those blokes are worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely. Simon Lloyd's going to join us pre-game Friday night. Matty Robbins will be the player that played for both.
Oh, Matty Robbins, the missile.
How many games do you reckon he played for Geelong?
Oh, 40?
7.
Right. Yeah, I remember. I remember the other 33 he was going to play, in what position, what role he was going to play. But just the 7, right? Okay, and then he went to the Doggies. He was a little missile, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a good player.
He was a nugget.
Yep. So he's going to join us, and we will be on air from 6 o'clock for the people that unfortunately don't get a ticket. Benny, I'll see you tomorrow night.
Hey.
Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official whack and noisen dealer, North Geelong, Grovedale, and Ocean Grove. KerrsHire.com.au.